And we'll take some time for Q&A. I'm sure you have a few questions. Anybody find their relative up here? Yeah? While you think of your questions, we're also going to take a free will offering to cover some of the cost of running these meetings. You know, the income for the Apologetics Forum comes from free will offerings, donations, books, DVDs, what have you. So if we have some questions here, let's take them.
A common statement made is that the apes have about 97% of the DNA of a human. What do you say to that statement? Is that totally bogus, or is there any truth to it, or what do you know about it?
Well, originally that's what they said, but now as time's gone by, they've seen that that was an exaggeration. And when you get to studying the genome and really getting into it, things that they used to think was junk, you know, they didn't understand it, so they called it junk. They're finding that it all has a purpose. It all has a reason for being. And so I always, for that question, I always answer it two ways. Number one, it's less than 97%, but every living thing has commonality in the DNA. In other words, we wouldn't be able to eat bananas if they didn't have a common, it would be like eating steel, you know, if bananas didn't have a lot of DNA similar, put together similar to us, because we couldn't digest it, we couldn't ingest it, and so forth. So that is another indication of the designer of all living things, you know, made things so that out of the same material, but put it together in an uncountable number of different ways. And so as scientists, and our creation scientists are contributing a lot to this, because their presuppositions would lead them to think that there have got to be more differences than what the evolutionists want. The evolutionists would like it to be that they're very similar, because they want to be able to say, well, therefore, you know, there's not that much difference between an ape and a human. And we know better. Common sense tells us there's all kinds of differences. Like Dr. Whitcomb said, you know, the spiritual and educational and our capabilities are nearly infinitely different. And we just don't climb trees anywhere near as well as the chimpanzees do. So that's how I would answer that. Number one is that it's less than 97%, and they're finding more and more differences and more complexity to the genome the more they study it. And then also, you would expect that everything would have some if it was all designed by the same intelligent designer.
A silly question. If we are evolving from apes and chimpanzees and whatever kind they are, why are they still around?
Okay, well, the question is if we are, we aren't, and so you want to know what the evolutionist answer would be to that? Well, what they answer it this way. Okay, they say there's a common ancestor here that they may or may not know. There's a common ancestor that they have in their mind, or they can put on a textbook. Common ancestor here. And out of this common ancestor, a trunk grew out of it over a long period of time. And at some point there, the humans went off this direction and the apes went off this way. And then off of these branches, there were things that went extinct and what have you. So they can imagine a story, and they would be very in their mind, they would say, I can convince you. Here's the story. And so you would say, oh, okay. So that's why chimpanzees are still here. They do not say, most generally, they do not say that we evolved from apes that are existing today. You know, they don't say we evolved from chimpanzees. They just say we evolved from things that look like chimpanzees, see, or a lot like chimpanzees.
So when they go to different parts of the world, like where they found Lucy, do they go there because they think they're going to find something there, or has something already been found, and then that's why they go there.
Well, I can't know in every case. I mean, there's a lot of different ways that these things come about, but my personal experience with finding fossils is that somebody has to stumble across the first one. And for example, dinosaur fossils, that's just for one example, dinosaur fossils, usually the way they're found is that people know that they're going to be most easily found in an area where there's not a lot of vegetation. And so you go to badlands where you have hot, real hot weather in the summer, and then cold and snow and ice in the winter, and lots of erosion and whatever. And so every year they go out into these lands and they walk like this, and they find the little pieces of bones down here, and then they look up. And there's where they find their best specimens, is up there, and that's where they do their digging. But we haven't found any real good way, so far as dinosaur bones and most berry-type bones, to have some sort of equipment that'll tell us, okay, we just go in general and, oh, let's dig here. And I would say probably in Africa what happened was that some missionaries probably got involved first, because the African natives would have no interest in this whole concept on their own. And so some African missionaries probably started collecting these things, and then some scientists would come in, where'd you get those, you know? Oh, I got those out there. And so then they would say, boy, that's really interesting. And then the story would build from there. That's just my idea, probably how it happened.
You didn't say where the last transitional one was found in Nadali. Is that what you said? Oh, was that the Mexican cave one?
Let's see. Where is it? In Africa. Yeah, it's Africa? South Africa. Oh. South Africa.
Thank you.
Yeah, South Africa.
Any other questions? People still looking for their relatives back there? Well, I think you can see that we don't have very good specimens which show that we evolved from any of that. And that's a real problem for the evolutionist, obviously, but for believers, you know, how do we get the word out? You know, and how do we inoculate our children and grandchildren so they know the truth and don't fall into this trap? That's a challenge for us. So, JD, thank you for
Thank you for asking me to come.
Yep. Yeah.